Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith. Enjoy.
Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Listen, if you're an old school paper Bible person in the room, give me a shout out this morning. Have we got some old school paper Bible people in the room? We do. There's a bunch of Bibles. Toy, and we know you, girl. We know you got your Bible with you. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the last couple of months, I've just been studying through these passages of Scripture. And honestly, I would love to read the whole book of Hebrews for you this morning, because it's such a profound, powerful book of the Bible. And I want to encourage you, one of the biggest challenges to preaching is this. It is taking only small portions of the Word of God and preaching, because I've only got a certain period of time to preach to you. Now, I know some of you in the room are saying, Pastor Tim, we'd be happy for you to preach 3 hours and you can preach out of the whole book of Hebrews. Let me be clear, there are a whole bunch of others that are happy that I preach for 30 minutes. And I'm going to stick to that today, and that's great and that's awesome. And I see some people smile when I said 30 minutes, not 3 hours. So that is good. We're going to stick to that today. But there's a power in the Word of God. One of the great challenges to preaching out of this passage of Scripture is God has just given me such incredible revelation from this, and I'm going to take some time to walk through it and have a look at these verses today. But there's so much more to what this Scripture leads to. My message today, and I'm going to go on into next week, is the process to the promise. Listen, we live in a generation that loves the promises of God. And I want to be probably honest, if it's not the younger generation, it's all of us. We're all people that love the promises. We love the outworking of that. We love the receiving that comes through the promises. We love to get to the place of God's blessing coming to our life and our prayers being answered and the miracles coming. And we love to hold on to the beauty of what promises look like. But the challenge to promises is the reality of receiving promises always comes through a process. Now, we don't like the process. That process is a process of pain and challenge and hardship and difficulty of failure, of moments of despair. We don't like that process. We love promise. But sometimes through the process, our responses can be challenged. Our reality can be difficult as we walk through the process of dealing with life and dealing with situations that are building and growing us. And our responses can be a little bit, oh, God, this is so difficult. A couple of weeks ago, one of my girls, Rahanji, responded to me in a way that I thought is so reminiscent of how we respond to God when we go through the challenges we face. And last night, I had to video this girl, and just I want to show you a video of her response, and I'm going to parallel it to how that fits to all of our lives. Can we just play that video? That'd be awesome.
Everybody, this is my beautiful daughter.
Hi.
And she is wonderful, no doubt. But every now and then she can be a serious drama princess.
Princess, exactly.
If I forget to get something for her, she gives me this wonderful face. Show me, girl. This is how it goes. I forgot your GYG. That's not how it goes.
We can't show evidence. Okay. Usually I say, I thought my dad loved me. There's no love in my life yet. Yeah.
And where's my GYG?
And that too. Yes, yes. Here you go.
If you missed that, it was, oh, I thought my daddy loved me. He doesn't love me anymore. That was her response right there. Now, let me just say, for all the aunties in the room, they're going to lecture Rahanji after church. She was joking. This is a joke. I know you're going to say to her, girl, if you grew up in Africa, you would have troubles and you'd have to go and get your own food and you have to cook it yourself. Listen, she was joking. Just to clarify, so 50 people don't lecture after church. But the reality is, this is our life. God, I'm going through a challenge. I'm walking into the process. I want my promise. Oh, God, life's so difficult today. Things are so tough. And listen, you might be saying that's just Rahanji, but every one of you in the room have had a moment like that. God, these processes, the processes that we walk through, the challenges that we are facing, the hardship that we go through, God, we don't want those things. We love the promise. We love the outcome. We love the reward. We love the end. But these promises, oh God, why do they have to take some process? I think through 13 years ago, walking into this church, and the promises that God spoke so clearly into my life, I believe he said in 20 years' time, this region's different because this church is here. I felt that promise so clearly to our life. I felt that promise to what God had spoken into who we are, that this region would be transformed and touched because this church is in this place. I remember sitting, and I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, 13 years ago in my office with one of our intercessors as she prophesied a word over this church. She said, I see this church like Joseph's coat. I see a church of many colors, and we see the great representation of what this church looks like today in the physical. But she also said, I see this church as a place of favor and of blessing that overflows to the community around us. Listen, they're wonderful, wonderful promises. A couple of years ago, we saw the picture of that. Can we just bring up that photo? This is me receiving an award from Anastasia Palaszczuk, Milton Dick, who is the Speaker of the House in Federal Parliament, and our local councillor. We're receiving this award on behalf of our church, of the impact that this church does and the difference that it makes in our community in such a powerful and profound way. Listen, that's a picture. That's a picture of the promises of God. But the reality is, in the last 13 years, the process has been tough. There's been some moments in the last 13 years of walking through the process to get to the promises of moments like this being outworked, where we've had to face people leaving this church, people being hurt. We've seen people pass away and die. We've seen challenges come to people's situations, people that have walked through in that time, health battles that have been so difficult and hard to walk alongside people. We had COVID, and the hardship of all of that was as we shut for 6 months. The process has been painful. There's been some times in that process where, my daddy doesn't love me. There's been times when I felt like the process is just way too tough. Things have been way too difficult. But it's the process that leads us to the promise. The beautiful promises. That's the painful process to get there. The painful difficulties to walk to that place. Let's come back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 for a second. The writer of Hebrews is speaking here. And listen, throughout the Bible, we know the author of every book of the Bible, except for this one for certain. Many people speculate, say it was the Apostle Paul. Others say maybe Apollos. Many others speculate who that writer was. But this is included in the Bible because of the profound truths that are in this book. And in verse 1, the writer starts and says this, therefore, since also we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, let me just clarify what the writer's talking about. He's not saying, hey, therefore we sit in church by such a great cloud of witnesses of men and women of God. He's not saying, oh, look, Toyin's in the house today. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Pastor David's in the house. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Pastor Steve's in the house. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Alfred's in the house. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not even saying this in your own church, in where you're at, as the Hebrew church has been written to. He's not just saying there in this place. What he is saying is actually jumping back to the chapter before in chapter 11. He's talking about the cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 that the writer says is by faith they conquered. By faith they built. By faith, they saw children come. By faith, through challenges, miracles happened. By faith, they received their dead back to life. By faith, he goes on at the end, says, they were sawn in two. By faith, they were massacred. By faith, they died. By faith, they went through a challenge. By faith, they had to deal with issue after issue. And he says, now we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He says this, by faith, they went through the process to receive their promise. By faith, they went through hardship, difficulty, death, loss, to receive the promises of God. And he says, and therefore, since these great cloud of witnesses who surround us that achieved and saw miracles by faith, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Listen, as I was studying over these last months this passage of Scripture, I read through and started studying what the writer was talking about when he spoke of the weight. Was he talking about the weight of sin? He actually wasn't talking about the weight of sin. He goes on to address sin. He goes on to speak about sin. But he's talking about a weight that was there to be carried. That weight, if we actually look at the right interpretation, could be something more along the lines of that burden or that hindrance, or that bulging is actually the better interpretation. That bulging of their life through heavy oppression. He's talking about the weights that we carry around in our life. He says now, let us, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those that have received promise through the process, let us lay aside the weights that we carry. Started thinking and praying on it during the week, and I started thinking about the thought of laying aside the abuse of old relationships that I have carried and tried to walk into new relationships, but all I can see is the abuse of the old one, and it now taints the way I see every person before me. Let us lay aside the poverty that I was born into, the poverty that I've only known. And when I try and walk into blessing, I might get a great job, I might receive a great pay, but I always have nothing left because I've only known poverty. And poverty has gone around every part of my thinking. Let us lay aside the weight that's attached to that poverty. Let us lay aside the fear that through that is attached to our finances. That when Pastor Tim speaks about giving, fear interrupts our life, because I only know fear when it comes to finances. I have never seen blessing. I've never seen the outworking of God as He pours out an overflow of blessing into my life. Giving is fearful to me. Investing is fearful to me. Starting a business that I feel God's put on my heart, because I've only known fear around this area of my finance. And the writer here says, let us lay aside the bulging and the weight that we've carried. Maybe it's I walked into this church and I hear people ask me to be involved, but at my last church I was involved and I got hurt, and I can't get involved again, and I can't serve God again because I got hurt and I'm carrying that bulging with me. I don't want to get involved in the creative team because last church I was singing, they wanted me to sing too much, and the bulging of our life. He says, let us remove that bulging of our life, those weights that are holding us bound, holding us away from the fullness that God has for my life. He goes on and says, and the sin that so easily ensnares us. I want to highlight a couple of things here. That word ensnares there is also could also be interpreted in the English, encircles us, surrounds us, easily distracts us. I feel like the writer of Hebrews wrote 2,000 years ago, the reality of the lives we live in today. The sin that so easily ensnares us. Turn on our television. What are we surrounded by? It's just a sinful life, sinful way of living, sinful mess. We just look at our phone for 5 seconds on social media. You will be just inundated by a sinful world and the mess of what the world is. You spend any time just going anywhere and wherever you go, the music that tries to be around our lives, the television, the etc., that so easily surrounds us, that so easily encircles us. I don't know about you, but there's times when I feel like it's just encircling everything that we do, encircling us as a church. Try and preach the truth of the Word of God, and it's encircling us, trying to rob from who we are. Listen, I encourage you, through this next season, you need to be praying for our nation. as they're trying to draft a religious freedom act and what that looks like. We need prayer for our nation. Because if we don't have prayer for our nation, that will just be an encircling like we've never known. So easily encircles, so easily ensnares. Listen, ensnares us. Ensnares us. Have you ever felt so alone in your mess, in your struggle? Have you ever felt so alone in the battle of temptation? Maybe you look up and you think, oh, the preachers and the pastors and the leaders that get up on the platform are all perfect, that so easily ensnares us. The writer didn't say, except for the pastors. He didn't say, except for the song leaders. He didn't say, except for all of those people that are on the platform and the leaders. He doesn't say that. He says it so easily ensnares us. You look around this room, every leader in the house has the same battle that we run, the race of walking and with God and allowing him to lead us out of that temptation battle, the issues of the world trying to ensnare our lives and our thinking and our believing. He goes on and says, and let us run with endurance. Run with endurance. On Thursday, my son texts me, my son Geordie, and he's like, Dad, it's cross country day at school. I forgot about it. Can you email and tell them I can come home? So I'm like, you know, he's in grade 12. I'd rather him be studying because he's obviously going to come home and study. So I sent an email saying Geordie needs to come home. He gets home. And I'm like, I didn't see his text for a little while. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're too late. So I had to run my race and then I come home. And I'm like, how'd you go? He's like, oh, it's easy, Dad. I'm like, oh, good on you. Did you place well? He's like, no, I just walked the whole way. Listen, cross country's not supposed to be easy because you walk it. The writer here says, let us run the race with endurance. He doesn't say, let's just walk it and it's going to be easy. Let's just chat to our friends as we go through this journey and just do whatever we want to do and just go. He doesn't say that. He said, let us run the race with endurance. Let us run the race with endurance. Listen, the race of life, the endurance race is challenging sometimes. The process of what we walk through, the process of what we face. Sometimes we're running the race with endurance. There's some hills and there's some going downhill that's great. There's some other moments that we're up the steep slope of the race of our lives. It's not supposed to be walked. It's supposed to be run. Run the race with endurance. The race is the process that you walk through every single day as you're looking toward and with faith believing for the promises of God. It's the race that you walk through is the process that leads us to that promise. He goes on and he says this, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Sometimes we can just spiritualize this. And listen, it is this, but it's not just this. Sometimes we can spiritualize this to the place of we're looking unto Jesus in our prayer life. In our prayer life, we're on our knees and we're saying, Jesus, you're the author of the finisher of my faith. Lead me through my challenge. Lead me through my hardship. Lead me through my difficulty. That's wonderful. That's important. That is a special part of our faith walk with Jesus and leaning into him and allow him to guide us and lead us. But it's not just looking unto Jesus in that way. It's also looking unto Jesus in the word and what it shows us about his life. Listen, the Gospels are a place to look unto Jesus and see what he has done. If you haven't read through all four of the Gospels, maybe you're a new believer in the house, I encourage you, read through all four of those Gospels. Get to know the story of Jesus and what he was, the example of who Jesus is. We've got to see the example of Jesus' life, what he did. And part of that example is Jesus going to the cross. Listen, the cross is essential for my faith in yours. It is essential. I want to tell you, the promises that come through the cross for us, lead us to a place of worship that is profound, that is incredible, that is life-changing. Let me just list a couple. Can I do that? List a couple promises that come to our lives through the cross. Number one, he is faithful and just. If we go into 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Promise two, he first loved us. 1 John 1:4, have no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. The cross shows us that he transforms us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we are transformed from glory to glory. The cross shows us in promise 4, he delivered us from darkness. If we go into Colossians, he delivered us from darkness to light. Promise 5, he wiped out all the handwritten requirements against us. Colossians again, in chapter 2, says those handwritten requirements are wiped out. Promise 6, he brought us near again, but now in Christ Jesus, we were once afar off, we're now being brought near, as Braden said before in Ephesians chapter 2. Promise 7, he sanctified us. We've been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, I can go on and on and on. There are so many promises. He cleanses our conscience. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us. He clothes us with salvation. Isaiah, as it was prophesying what Jesus would do on the cross. Promise 10, he makes us children of God. John 3:16 tells us that. He keeps us from stumbling. Now, he justifies us. Romans 5:1-2. He saves us. Romans chapter 10. He removes all condemnation from us. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, through the cross are some powerful, powerful promises. But listen, Jesus, the one that we look to, had to walk through the process to get those promises to my life and to yours. What's the process? Let's just take a moment to think through the process. He had to live. He was born and he had to live. But then one of his very trusted friends betrayed him. Betrayed him with a kiss nonetheless. He was arrested. He was lied about. People stood there and told lie after lie after lie after lie. And he didn't defend himself. He was lied about. He was beaten. Then he was beaten a bit more. Then he was beaten a little bit more. Then he was whipped some as well. He had his beard plucked out. He had a crown of thorns put upon his head. He had nails through his hands, nails through his feet. He was hung upon a cross until he couldn't breathe anymore and died. Looking unto Jesus. Now looking unto Jesus, the writer says. Looking unto Jesus for our example of he attained the promises through the process. Now we look unto Jesus in our prayer life, but just look at him in the Gospels for a moment. Look as he goes through the process of pain and challenge and hardship and difficulty. Now looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Looking unto Jesus, we look unto Jesus hanging on the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him? What was the joy? All of those promises were the joy. What was the joy? You and I receiving the promises of God, receiving those promises of redemption, of forgiveness, of grace, receiving those promises was the joy. But amongst that, Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, he said, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Listen, in the middle of receiving the promises, we also have to walk through some process. In the middle of it, what's our response? We've got to walk through this. This is the process. It takes me to my promise. The promise I'm holding, it's the process. Or, oh, I'm not loved. My daddy doesn't love me. What's our response? What's our response? What was the joy? You and I are the joy. We're the joy, the receiving of our promises. Goes on and he says this, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. You know what I've noticed? I've never had to endure a holiday. Now, let me just clarify. I've endured the 10 hours driving in the car with the kids on the way to the holiday. Can I have an amen from a parent in the house? I've endured that. But I never endured a holiday. I never endured 2 days away with my wife. It was never just, I've got to endure this. She may have, I'm not sure, but I have never endured that. That's not the thing that we endure. We don't endure going on a spearfishing trip. Oh, I just had to go spearfishing for a couple of days. I never endured that. I enjoyed it. He says endured the cross. The enduring for the joy set before him. For you and I receiving the promises of God that he through the process of the cross laid out for our lives. The joy that was set before him endured the cross. The cross was pain. It was challenge. It was hardship. And listen, this is the same for us in our lives. For the promises of God that we walk to, we endure at times the processes that we go through. We endure the challenges that we face. We endure the difficulties that we walk through. The Apostle Paul understood enduring. If you look at his life, you read through the book of Acts, you read an understanding of a guy that knew how to endure. He writes to the Corinthians church in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man's perishing, our inward man being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. For the process that you're walking through today is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The promises of God are eternal. The process is temporary. Back to Hebrews. He goes on and says this. He despised the shame. He despised the shame. In English, it doesn't quite capture the fullness of what the statement is right down here. I can't actually pronounce the word in Greek, but it's this thought of he looked down on the shame. He esteemed the shame lightly. He saw it as insignificant. He devalued the shame. What was the shame? The shame for him was to be hung upon his creation. Not just his creation, to be hung on the cross, that place of a curse. The Bible tells us to be hung on the tree was a curse. But it says this, he just looked down and saw lightly the shame of about to being hung on a cross. Like, I don't know if you want to go and meditate on that thought for a week and just see where it leads you. Because I've spent some time thinking on this. Jesus looked down on the shame of being hung upon the cross and just looked down on it lightly as if it was nothing. What a powerful thought on our response to the shame of our life. What a powerful thought on the response to the process that we're walking through. You know, so often our shame becomes the biggest area of our life that we see and we look at and we spend time stuck in the shame of the things that we've had to walk through. The process that we've had to face becomes so big to us. This process becomes overwhelming. And the thought of the difficulties and the hardship is something we can't take our eyes off. We can't see past. We're trying to walk with God, but all we see is our shame, our failing, our challenges, the bulging of our life. It says here that in amongst this, Jesus just esteemed it lightly, despised it. What a small piece of shame. Listen, I don't want to belittle your challenges in this room today. I don't. In no way do I want to belittle what you walk through. And your loss and your hardship and the things that you've faced. But I want to lift up the power of what Jesus teaches us in this principle of the Word of God here. And it's not belittling our situation. It's lifting up what Jesus does in our situation as the process of walking through shame, walking through bulging, walking through hardship, walking through the areas of our life where they lift us to. When we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. What happens through that in our lives when we look to Jesus? This process of our shame overwhelming us and our challenge being too big for us. The thing that somebody did to us becoming our whole world. Jesus shows us here that when we look to him, when our eyes are on him and what he has done and what he is doing and how he's moving and what he's working in our lives, that through that, through where he lifts us to, we can look down now on something that was so big, that had a hold of my life and no longer is big. Because Jesus has done something great. T.D. Jakes said, accept the process. Your blessing is already ready. It's already done. God is getting you ready for the blessing, preparing you for your destiny. There is powerful truth for our lives. Despise the shame. And where was he seated? What did the writer of Hebrews say right there? He despised the shame and was now seated at the right hand of the Father. Why is the shame of our lives in now insignificant? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that we have a great high priest who can sympathize with all of our weaknesses, who is tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in our time of need. The writer of Hebrews understands the great power of what the cross did for our lives in a repositioning. As Jesus is repositioned from the curse to the right hand of the Father, we're repositioned from our curse, from our shame, from our brokenness, from our bulging, from our process. We're reassigned and repositioned in Jesus Christ now to the throne room of God, obtaining grace, obtaining help, obtaining favor, obtaining blessing, obtaining promise through no doubt the challenges of our life, through no doubt the processes that we don't like, through no doubt the moments that but taking hold of the promises of God, walking into the throne room of blessing. Listen, today in this room, I want to speak into our lives. You may be in the middle of a painful, broken process, but I want to speak right now to the reality that God leads us through this process, and here we see in the power of looking to Jesus what it actually means for our lives. I don't want to belittle your process. I don't want to belittle your challenge. I don't want to belittle your issue, but I want to lift up as we look our eyes to Jesus and where he's leading us to. The author and the finisher of our faith. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes right across this room. Thank you, Jesus. My Jesus, I lift up everyone in this room right now. My God, through the many processes that are going on in people's lives today, the challenges of relationships, the challenges of finances, the challenges of situations, the challenges of heartache, the challenges of fear, the challenges of past words that have been spoken over lives, the challenges of past actions that have been done to people in this room, where people have been let down, hurt, bulging, burdened. Jesus, today we look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, who the joy is set before, endured the cross. On behalf of everyone in this room, endured the cross. On behalf of a broken world, endured the cross. On behalf of a sin-soaked world, endured the cross. And despised the shame of the curse. Despised it. Looked down on it. My God, we pray today across this room, there would be such an awareness today through our process, through our challenge, through our hardships, through the hurt and through the difficulty, through the disappointment, that we're repositioned in Christ as our eyes turn unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're repositioned into the throne room of God. Jesus. 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 I thank you across this room today, those that are struggling right now in their process. Some in this room felt alone in their process. Felt alone right now. Jesus, I pray right now, great Holy Spirit, let them know they're not alone. Holy Spirit, as you're walking with them through the process now, through the process right now. God, as they walk into this room carrying weight, my God, I pray right now there is an anointing in this room to let go of weight, to leave weight right now at the foot of the cross. Here in this room, to leave words that have been spoken. My God, I see over a young woman today, words have echoed in your life over these past weeks. My God, that she would take those words and leave them at the foot of the cross today. Leave them at the foot of the cross, every word that has been spoken. My God, I see some young men and women today come into this room bulging with the weight of past relationships right now. My God, the hurt and the disappointment that has flown through those relationships. My God, today, let them go. Leave them at the foot of the cross. Right now, here today. Come, Holy Spirit. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, right now in this room with your anointing. Oh, to break the yokes and bondage here today off people's hearts and off people's lives and off people's thinking today, right now. Holy Spirit of God, the fear that's attached to people's lives. Oh, I see a young woman in this room as you look forward in your life. Fear's there, fear's there, fear's there. Fear that's attached to everything that's gone before. My God, you're breaking the power of that fear today. I see that in a mature man right now. There's fear there. There's fear there. Fear in the area of your life of finances. Oh, there's fear there. You've seen that. You've got fear because of what you've seen in the past, where business has been tough, where business was tough for your father. Right now, I break the power of that fear in Jesus' name. My God, we see the blessings of God, the promises of God. Yes, there's process to walk through, but my God, we keep our eyes on your blessing. This fear is removed today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's an anointing here right now. Right now in this room to break off yokes. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you right now. Right now, right now. Let's stand on our feet. Just lift our hands for a moment here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Anointing here right now, right now, right now, today. Old thinking this morning, the bulging of old thinking. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that old thinking is broken. Somebody here over these last couple of weeks, you've been carrying thoughts that have been overwhelming you right now. Just begin to lay them before Jesus. Lay them at the foot of the cross today. Lay them there this morning. Oh, we thank you right now. We thank you right now for the power to set free, the power to set free, the power to set free, the power to set free. Set free minds today. Set free minds today. Set free thinking today. Set free thinking today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.